Making gift selections at Christmas. Many people adore Santa Claus because he brings them the perfect that often produces squeals of joy. Individuals, especially children, are often thrilled to get what they want and need from Santa. To bring joy to others, you also need to not only give a Christmas gift but to also try to get an item that will be a good match for the individual by selecting a gift that suits the person. It is possible to find the right Christmas gift without having to fall for the easy way out by giving a sweater. To find the right gift for Christmas for anyone means a gift has to capture one or both of the following qualities: something that you know the person will like or desire, or something with useful purpose that will captivate the person. A Christmas gift that captivates the receiver will produce a wow reaction or comments of "that's cool" from others, who will be wishing silently that they had gotten such a gift. The key to selecting a wonderful Christmas gift that will produce a wow reaction is to make sure the item is one that will appear interesting to others. The gift itself may have limits to its use. That means it may not be something that will be used frequently, such as a sweater or other clothing. The wow factor or coolness of the gift must, however, overshadow its possible limited usefulness. Selecting a Christmas gift that is desired can prove to be difficult if you think you don't know what the person wants or needs. But when we think that we don't really know what someone wants for a Christmas gift, our real thought is that we haven't really heard the person specifically say they want or desire a particular item. That, however, is not an obstacle to truly knowing what someone may desire for a Christmas gift. To help to identify an item that will make a perfect Christmas gift, you need to focus on what you know about the person, various qualities, what leisure activity the person likes, what type of books, art and music, for example, do they like. To focus on what you know about the person, think about conversations you have engaged in with the individual. Conversations in general can often give splendid ideas of good gifts to give for Christmas, because oftentimes people will say "I wish for" when talking with someone else. The character of the person is also a good indicator of items that will make wonderful Christmas gifts. Remember, a gift for Christmas is a token to show love, fondness or appreciation or some combination of those qualities. An item that captures a quality of a person is therefore likely to be much appreciated. So, for example, books make good gifts for someone who likes to read. But if the person also has a humorous persona, a book on jokes would be a desirable Christmas gift. For someone who likes to drive, a travel book on scenic routes is likely to create a large amount of interest. A Christmas gift like that also could stir some wow remarks, as it could easily cause others to want become engrossed in browsing it. A Christmas gift like that also is an example of something that is very useful but which may not get a lot of frequent use. Another strategy for selecting a perfect Christmas gift is to think of how something will fit into someone's lifestyle. A friend once recalled that wish another friend often expressed in conversation was for a PlayStation. But knowing that the friend also didn't have much leisure time to actually sit and use a PlayStation, a handheld game gadget was given instead that could be used during commute on public transportation or in 10 to 15 minutes of short downtime. Selecting Christmas gifts for friends, acquaintances and loved ones that will be remembered and treasured is therefore not too much of a difficult task if the strategies previously mentioned are kept in mind. Making memories during Christmas and the holidays. A favorite Christmas song has a line that describes Christmas as the most wonderful time of the year. While giving and receiving gifts is something that is highly anticipated and remembered at Christmas time, there are also many more activities that make Christmas memorable and wonderful. One of these activities is decorating the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree occupies a central spot and is the most visible display of Christmas in most homes. And like in other countries, most American homes do not have a representation of the nativity scene, which is more likely to be located at churches. As soon as the Christmas season begins on the day after Thanksgiving, families will begin their search for the perfect Christmas tree. This in itself can become a memorable activity, as children may accompany family members to places like a Christmas tree farm to select a tree. Once a real or artificial tree is selected, then it's an exciting activity for the entire family to play a part in decorating the tree. Manufactured decorations come in many shapes and forms. But a special memory is created when family members make a special ornament for the Christmas tree, or contribute one or more keepsake items to decorate the Christmas tree. It then becomes a ritual each year for those particular items to be placed on the Christmas tree, although other decorations may change in coming years. Another activity that can help to create special memories at Christmas is baking cookies. Along with popular gingerbread cookies, using cookie cutters to make special holiday-shaped cookies is also practiced a lot in households. Based on the ages of children, they can help in the actual baking activity by measuring and mixing some ingredients, or younger children can sprinkle sugar on the cookies or decorate them with icing when they are finished. Helping in this activity can also be educational, as parents can use the activity of measuring and figuring out equivalent measures to teach fractions and other mathematical elements. An activity that is related to food, which also helps to create memories during the Christmas season, is making fruit and goodie baskets, which are filled with candies, baked items and other treats for loved ones, their special friends, neighbors, teachers or for charity. Items such as goodie baskets make especially wonderful Christmas gifts because they are homemade. That quality often makes them more treasured than a Christmas present that is bought at the store. Because Christmas is the season of goodwill and good cheer, it is very important to reach out to family, loved ones and friends during the season. The busy lives that many people lead today often leaves them little or no time during the year to be in frequent contact with family and friends who are located far away, or even others who live within a reasonable distance in the same or a neighboring state. For example, it is therefore very common during Christmas to send a Christmas or holiday greeting card to those individuals. Along with the pleasant memory of receiving the card, there may be a short letter included that gives a brief account of any significant event in the individual's life or with members of the family. That makes sending and receiving Christmas greeting cards more memorable. Then there's probably the most anticipated activity of Christmas, finding out what Christmas gift Santa brought on Christmas Eve, while adults also look forward with much anticipation to see what Christmas gifts they will get. It's really the children who get the most delight from receiving presents at Christmas. The carefully planned actions to hide Christmas presents from children and then to magically place them under the Christmas tree to be found on Christmas morning is one of the most wonderful ways to create unforgettable memories for children at Christmas. Selection of Christmas trees. Given the many types of Christmas trees available and the various ways in which they can be bought, it's important to know certain qualities that a Christmas tree should have so that it will be suitable for decorating and will also last through the season. One of the most important qualities a Christmas tree should have is freshness. This makes buying a tree from a Christmas tree farm the best option, because you will observe the tree being cut at the time it is purchased. If that tree is bought elsewhere, such as from a retail lot, it is important to find out where the tree came from and when it was cut. To determine the freshness of a tree, observe whether it looks green and healthy, has a fragrant scent and has needles that are moist and flexible. If the needles appear dry or show browning, then that is a sign that tree isn't very fresh. If a large amount of green needles fall when a few branches of the tree are shaken, that's also a sign that the tree isn't the best one to buy to last for the entire season. The needles of fir trees should break crisply when they are bent. If a fir tree needle is bent and doesn't break readily with pressure, it might mean that the tree isn't absorbing water and that will affect its longevity. Another reason a Christmas tree farm can be a better option for purchasing a Christmas tree is that it will be more likely to offer more species of trees and therefore a wider variety of shapes and sizes. For those Christmas trees that are located on retail or other commercial lots, freshness can be determined by looking at the conditions in which the trees are kept. Observe whether the trees are kept in stands that hold water, if bale trees are protected from the wind and sun, if a fresh cut is put on trees and if the trees are tied down correctly. Another quality to consider in selecting the right Christmas tree is its size. Before buying a tree, it's important to decide where it will be placed so that the space can be measured. You will need to do a floor-to-ceiling measurement and then subtract at least 10 to 12 inches to get the maximum height for the Christmas tree. It is recommended that at least 10 to 12 inches of space should be between the top of the Christmas tree and the ceiling. The bottom of the Christmas tree also needs to be checked to make sure there is adequate space between the end of it and the lowest branches. A small diagonal fresh cut, such as an inch, is made in that area to enhance absorption of water, which will make the tree last longer. This cut should be made just before the tree is placed in water. If a fresh cut is done and the tree is exposed to the air too long, the vessels can become blocked. Along with freshness and size, A tree should be selected based on the shape that you like, the smell of the needles and bark, and on how dense and sturdy the branches are. For the density and sturdiness of a tree, you need to have an idea how the tree will be decorated, how many heavy ornaments, Christmas lights or boughs will be used. As an example, a fir tree that has sturdy branches will be better for holding heavy ornaments, and a pine tree is good for Christmas trees that have light decorations such as boughs and a string of Christmas lights. The texture of the branches and how durable or long-lasting the tree will be are also worth considering in choosing a perfect Christmas tree. Shopping during the prime of the Christmas season, the saying that goes, "The early bird catches the worm," is in part true for those who get Christmas shopping off to an early start before the season actually begins. Most of us, however, are likely to be average shoppers who wait until that time when the season officially begins. Maybe we don't have any time before then and we have to wait for a day off from work after Thanksgiving. Or maybe we simply procrastinate and can't get going until the frenzy starts, or until when the stores are all fully decorated and Christmas songs and carols are playing non-stop to put the thrill and magic into the festive season that is Christmas. Average Christmas holiday shoppers go out in force and are primarily motivated by the sales that occur during the official Christmas shopping season. These shoppers fully believe they are getting good prices and bargains from Christmas and holiday sales. But it isn't likely that retailers will offer the lowest prices during a time that is prime shopping season. The lesson for the average and for all shoppers during the traditional Christmas shopping season is to carefully evaluate prices and consider if the item is fairly priced when compared to the price during other times of the year. If items are simply snapped up during Christmas and the holidays because they are being offered in a sale, the shopper may end up busting his or her budget or having buyer's regret about a purchase. Those who are average and early shoppers have some time, however, to get over any unwise purchases, because such purchases can be returned and a better choice can be made. There is, however, another type of shopper. The late or chronically late shopper is stuck with hoping that Aunt Sally or Grandma will like the gift selected, even if the buyer had second thoughts about it after the purchase was made. The late shopper is one who realizes that there are a mere five days, less than a week to go, before Christmas, and not a single gift has been bought. Worse off than the late shopper is the chronically late Christmas shopper, who is in a mad frenzy two days before Christmas and faces a crisis when the desired gift, such as a book, has to be ordered and won't be shipped in time for Christmas. While those shoppers can get comfort from knowing they will likely benefit from the lowest markdowns of the period, they will also find scanty selections and some items, primarily clothing, that appear a bit worn from all the looking over and handling done by the horde of Christmas shoppers. But even these late shoppers, who are often procrastinators and who can only be spurred into action by a looming deadline, can execute a strategy to make their Christmas shopping successful. Such a strategy involves more don'ts than things to do. Late Christmas shoppers should try to avoid having lists that have unusual or hard to get items that will need to be ordered. While retailers will offer shipping in time for Christmas, orders usually have to be made before a certain time, for example at least 36 to 72 hours before Christmas. If items aren't ordered within that time frame, there is no guarantee that they will arrive for the big day. Those who do their Christmas shopping late should also be prepared to find items on their own in stores and not expect to get hand-holding help from sales clerks. With only days to go before Christmas and with everyone trying to get their last-minute shopping done, it is impossible for most retailers to have enough staff to offer expert or even meaningful help to please the majority of Christmas shoppers. Soon after the excitement of Christmas Day passes, what frequently is the topic of conversations and what remains memorable in the new year is what gifts were received and given. So, in the coming days, it may be worth it to assess the type of shopper that you are and create a plan and strategy to make sure you will be a perfect Santa who'll deliver the right gifts to friends and loved ones. Significance of Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas, is one that is filled with a mixture of anxiety and anticipation. There's anxiety of putting all the final plans and finishing decoration touches in place and getting all the necessary shopping done. There's also much anticipation about all the merriment and excitement of Christmas Day. Children are usually hardly able to control themselves as they think about the Christmas gifts they hope to get the next day. They may try to stay up through the night to catch Santa Claus, or they may just be too excited to sleep. Christmas Eve is also important for the simple reason that in ancient customs, And among some cultures today, the holiday or other celebrated day really starts from sundown of the day before the actual day that is celebrated. Therefore, festivities and observances for Christmas Day would really begin on Christmas Eve. One of the most significant aspects of Christmas Eve, however, is related to religion. Attending midnight Massachusetts or earlier church services is mandatory for many people whose religion is Christianity. This is so even for people who aren't regular churchgoers during the year. Evidence of the importance of these church services can be seen in the overflow of congregations at the churches. Many churches will also have an added service earlier in the evening to accommodate the above normal attendance, and also for individuals like the elderly who prefer a service that is earlier than midnight Massachusetts. Another important aspect of Christmas Eve celebrations is related to retail operations. On the day before Christmas, stores make a last-ditch effort to push sales of Christmas and other merchandise. There often are special promotions last-minute advertised to capitalize on late, desperate Christmas shoppers and other impulse buyers. This last effort is also aimed at increasing sales for the Christmas period. Some stores will remain open late, even up to midnight or just before midnight. Macy's Department Store in New York City, which bills that particular store branch as the world's largest, stayed open until midnight on Christmas Eve of 1867 for the first time. Christmas Eve culminates the single biggest shopping season, which started the day after Thanksgiving, for retailers. Christmas Eve is also important for the traditions associated with it. It is the night when parents have to play the role of Santa Claus and sneak toys and other Christmas gifts under the Christmas tree to the absolute delight and surprise of children who awake on Christmas morning to find the presents. The idea of Santa Claus coming descending chimneys on Christmas Eve to leave gifts for good boys and girls was made popular by a poem attributed to Clement Clark Moore. In that poem titled An Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas, which Moore wrote in 1822 and which is now popularly known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Moore described Santa Claus as a right jolly old elf, who went from house to house with his sleigh pulled by reindeers flying through the air to deliver Christmas presents to all the girls and boys who had been well behaved. Food plays a big role in making Christmas Day special, and much of its preparation often begins on Christmas Eve. Poultry and other meats are often prepared by letting them stand in a mixture of various herbs and spices. Puddings and pies are baked on Christmas Eve, as well as a fresh batch of gingerbread and other cookies and treats. The sense and flurry of activity related to all these preparations also help to make Christmas Eve a memorable day on its own. Spread some Christmas cheer without breaking the bank. If asked, most people will say that the best part of the Christmas season is all the beautiful decorations and yummy food. Everyone loves all the sweets, cookies, cakes, pies and candy, but they also like all the cheery and warm decorations that abound everywhere. If you're on a tight budget, you may feel like you can't offer much for the holidays, but as they saying goes, it's not the cost of the gift that counts, it's the thought. Just take a look around at what you have to work with, and of course you can always give some kind of baked goods or other homemade goodies. When my children were small, we didn't have much money, but I would make big batches of different kind of cookies and then put them in cookie tins or on sturdy paper plates wrapped in cellophane. They were always one gift I knew would always be loved regardless if the recipient were young or old. Decorating is another thing that can be done without having a big budget to work with. Maybe you have some decorations from previous years, or you can pick up some simple red, green and gold streamers to decorate around the house. If you have some old Christmas baby clothes or stuffed teddy bears around, perhaps you could put them in a small child's chair by draping the sweater over the chair and have the bear sitting snuggled in the corner of the chair. Find a nice corner of the room to place the chair, or near the tree if possible. Candles are another thing that always add a nice touch, and they can provide the atmosphere with some wonderful scents as well. The small votive candles are inexpensive and can be used in a number of ways for decorations. For instance, you could put some votive candles floating on some water in a festive bowl of some kind, or place them in groups of three on a small plate and scatter them around on the end tables or coffee tables. Candy canes are always popular and don't cost much. You can hang them around at various places or make some candy cane bouquets and place them in some green or red glasses or other festive glasses you may have. It's not about much you spend, it's about spreading a little Christmas cheer in the best way you can. Spreading goodwill at Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas, this season of good cheer, is about giving, especially to provide some assistance to those who need help for their daily survival and who therefore don't have the material resources to enjoy the Christmas season. The importance of giving to those in need during Christmas is embodied in the story of Jesus' birth, which is the reason Christmas is celebrated. For Christians, Jesus was born to save mankind from sin by giving everlasting salvation to all who believe in the Word of God and chose to follow the principles for living in the Bible. Jesus therefore gave in the ultimate way. He offered himself as a sacrifice for every living person. Christians therefore believe that Christmas should be about following the example of Jesus by giving of oneself to others, especially to those who are in need. The Christmas season should therefore be about spreading goodwill and good cheer. This purpose of Christmas is very significant because research by social service organizations has shown that Christmas happens to be a high time for depression among the have-nots, among people with problems and others who just don't have the means and resources to enjoy the merriment of the holidays. The hundreds of Santa letters written by children are often a sad testament to the many unmet needs of families and individuals during the festive Christmas and holiday times. Just about every child is told the story of Santa Claus, or hears about him because his presence is everywhere at Christmas. And up to the age of 7 to 8 years, most children believe the story about Santa Claus bringing toys and other gifts. That's the reason why so many young children often write letters to Santa at Christmas time, in which they innocently plead for toys and other gifts because their parents or other relatives will not be able to give them those Christmas toys or Christmas gifts that they want. Thankfully, there are many volunteer and charitable efforts carried out by groups and corporations that seek to fulfill the needs of children and also of adults during the Christmas season. One of the most notable organizations that do such charitable work is the Salvation Army, which has a history of giving service to those in need. According to the Salvation Army's website, the organization as known today was started in 1865 by a Methodist minister, William Booth, and his wife Catherine. They formed a group that preached, provided food and shelter to the homeless, the hungry, and to alcoholics in need of recovery services. The services were provided in London's East End. Booth and his followers, first known as the Christian Mission, started to use the Salvation Army name in 1878. The Salvation Army is now uniquely associated with the Christmas season through its many representatives who dress up as Santa Claus and stand outside retail establishments ringing their bells while they kindly seek donations from shoppers to help the poor at Christmas. Individuals also play Santa Claus at Christmas time and help out those in need by donating toys and gifts to their companies, other business enterprises such as banks, or through their local municipalities. These groups usually all have a box or an area where new toys or clothing can be dropped off, and the items are then donated to families in need or to social service providers for distribution to the needy during the Christmas season. Along with much charitable giving at Christmas time, other public interest groups also work hard to inform and educate consumers about avoiding the after Christmas blues. This is often experienced in January when the bills and debts are due as a result of all the spending, much of it on credit, that is done for the holidays. These groups try to spread goodwill and cheer in a different way. They try to provide educational information on spending responsibly during the Christmas season, with the hope that the happiness and good feeling enjoyed during the season can also carry over after Christmas and not be spoiled by the burden of having huge bills to pay. The Christmas story, the idea of celebrating Jesus' birth, was done to counteract pagan holidays celebrated in Rome during the winter solstice. Church leaders thought Christmas celebrations were more likely to be popular if they coincided with the traditional festivals and merrymaking during the winter solstice. Although some Christmas celebrations are secular, the religious aspect of Christmas remains central to celebrations. This is evident in church services such as Midnight Massachusetts, and primarily in the many forms of the Nativity, or Christmas story, presented wherever people celebrate Christmas. That story started in Nazareth in Galilee about 2,000 years ago. Mary, a young woman, was engaged to a carpenter named Joseph. An angel appeared to her one day and told her she was with child. She couldn't understand how that could happen because, due to her circumspect nature, she had not laid in bed with Joseph. The angel explained, however, that the child would be special as he would be the Son of God and his name was to be Jesus. Mary and Joseph then got married soon after the angel's appearance. But about the time when Mary was to have the baby, the couple had to travel far away to Bethlehem, Joseph's birthplace, to pay a special tax. It was difficult for them to find a place to stay because many other people were in Bethlehem to pay their taxes. After many rejections, one innkeeper offered a room in his stable where they could spend the night. That's where Jesus, the Holy Child and Son of God, was born and then wrapped in bundles of cloth and placed in a manger for a cradle. In the same hours that Mary was giving birth, shepherds who were in a field that overlooked Bethlehem saw an extremely bright star over the sky in Bethlehem. They had never seen anything like it and had feelings of curiosity and scariness. An angel appeared and told him the good news, that the Son of God had been born in Bethlehem. The shepherds left their flocks to go to Bethlehem to find the baby. When they reached the stable, they were filled with immense joy at seeing Jesus. They fell to their knees and worshipped him. They also told Mary and Joseph about the bright star and the angel appearing to say Jesus would be the Savior of the world. The bright star was also seen by wise men in the East. The wise men, who studied the stars, learned that a new and great ruler would appear whenever an extraordinarily bright star appeared in the sky. Three of them therefore set out to find the new ruler. They first visited King Herod in Jerusalem because they thought the child would be born in the palace. But when they asked to see the child who would be the new ruler, King Herod was very worried as he thought he would be removed from the throne. King Herod told the wise men that when they found the baby, they should return and tell him so that he could also worship the baby. The wise men used the star as a guide to go to Bethlehem where they found Mary, Joseph and baby Jesus who they worshipped and offered gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. The wise men are celebrated in some Christmas celebrations on January 6, known as the Epiphany to mark the date when they found Jesus. Later in the night the three wise men had a dream in which an angel told them that King Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus. They left Bethlehem to return to the east but didn't return to Jerusalem to tell King Herod where they had found the child. Joseph also had a dream soon after the wise men left in which an angel appeared and told him to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt because Herod had ordered that Jesus be killed. In an effort to kill Jesus after the wise men did not return to inform him of the baby's whereabouts, Herod later ordered that all baby boys in Bethlehem should be killed. But by then Mary and Joseph had left with baby Jesus. The joy of toys at Christmas. Although adults like to receive gifts, many will readily forgo the pleasure by sacrificing, if it means a small member of the family will be totally pleased and delighted with their Christmas gift. Seeing the sparkle of joy in children's eyes when they receive a toy or other Christmas present certainly confirms that Christmas is for children. And after all, Santa brings gifts for all the good little boys and girls, not for moms and dads or other adults. It was very humorous, as parents once related how on Christmas Day when their child opened a Christmas gift and was pleased, they pretended to be a bit saddened that Santa Claus didn't bring them any Christmas present. The child responded, "Because you bad mummy and daddy, you make me stand in corner." Toys are there for a significant part of Christmas. Parents go all out for children. To make the extra effort to give children something really special such as what the child wishes, desires or longs for. It may be a toy such as a particular type of doll, a dream dollhouse or an item like a bike or train set, or motorized vehicle. The fun of getting a toy at Christmas begins earlier for children as they start to make their wish list and anticipate getting one or more of what they desire. For teenagers, the most desired toy may not be a toy in the real sense of the word. A toy, in today's casual speech, can mean a favorite gadget such as an ultra-stylish cell phone, an iPod, MP3 player, electronic organizer or even a computer. Toy sales at Christmas play a major role in the economics of retailers in the toy industry. Toy makers use the Christmas season to release new and updated products with the hope of capturing a significant slice of the billions of dollars that consumers spend during the holidays. The strategy among toy makers has been to release a new product that they hope will be the must-have toy for this season. Consequently, they try to create buzz about the product and have a specific release date, all with the hope that parents and other consumers will clamor for the item and even make it sold out or hard to obtain as the season progresses. Such driving demand can easily justify a spike in the price of the item. Toys have also evolved beyond dolls, trains and cars to be very interactive and educational. The popularity of educational toys and the presence of increased technology have combined to produce many toys that are highly computerized. Receiving a toy as a gift at Christmas can play an important role in creating a lasting memory. When a child gets the right toy, one that is highly desired or is surprised by a wonderful toy, he or she will remember the feeling it brought for a lifetime and recall it whenever there's talk of which Christmas was a favorite. It also helps to create a tradition as the child becomes an adult and he wants to recapture a similar feeling by seeking to do the same for his or her own child. Then, there are the children with a wish list that's basically a hope to get something, any toy at Christmas. Many companies, businesses, churches and social organizations arrange to have members donate new and age-appropriate toys that are distributed to children in need. Putting a smile on the faces of those children will create warm memories about Christmas and Santa Claus for them. And by participating in a charitable effort, the donors are themselves Santa Claus and spreaders of goodwill and cheer that embody the meaning of Christmas. Travel at Christmas because Christmas is a time to be with family, loved ones and friends. It is one of the busiest times of the year to travel. People locally, to different regions and to international destinations to share Christmas dinners, exchange gifts and recall fond memories they have of the season. There's also travel for entertainment reasons that's done by tourists within the country or from abroad. And even on Christmas Day, the highways are busy with vehicles as relatives and friends travel between towns and states to spend the day together. The massive and rapid shift away from an agrarian society to one of commerce with the development of cities and suburbs caused family members to move farther and farther away from each other, therefore making it necessary to travel by land, air or rail to be together for holidays such as Christmas and other special occasions. And with some countries being economic powerhouses in the world, movement of peoples got even farther as they migrated to other countries to take advantage of better opportunities to improve their lives. Consequently, air travel has expanded in modern times to take people to international destinations. But travel during Christmas and the holidays is not limited to visiting relatives and friends. Many people travel for entertainment, including families who are interested in seeing interesting sights at Christmas and enjoying world-renowned entertainment that are in faraway places from where they live. Travel to a destination that is far away, within or outside a country, may only be done once by a family and that in itself creates a special memory. Within the United States, it is popular for families and groups of friends to visit New York City to see the general sights of the city and to shop at Christmas. Some of these sights are known throughout the country and are celebrated each Christmas. The annual lighting of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree is an example. The lighting of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, which is located west of Fifth Avenue from 47th Street to 51st Street in New York City, has been in tradition since the time of the Depression. The first tree was placed at the site in 1931, but it wasn't decorated with any Christmas ornaments. In recent years, more than 25,000 Christmas lights and other ornaments have been placed on the tree. Also in New York City, it is very popular for tourists to travel at Christmas to see the spectacular Christmas show at Radio City Music Hall with the signature high-kicking Rockettes. The show is a favorite of both adults and children as it is very festive, lively and filled with the spirit of Christmas. Tourists also travel during Christmas to international destinations for entertainment. Because the Nutcracker Ballet originated in Russia and that country has worldwide acclaim for some of the most technical and artistic ballet performers, it is a popular destination at Christmas. The legendary Tchaikovsky composed the music for the Nutcracker Ballet, which was first performed in Russia's Mariinsky Theater that is home to the acclaimed Kirov Ballet. The story is about a little girl's dream on Christmas Eve about a beloved Nutcracker toy she received as a present. Travel to international destinations is also popular at Christmas time to escape the cold of a white Christmas. For those who do not like the cold but like to be out and about at Christmas, the alternative is to go somewhere with a more tropical climate. Travel to destinations in the Caribbean, where Christmas is robustly celebrated, is popular during the Christmas season. One of the intriguing places to travel during the Christmas season is to a place where Santa can be observed. There is such a place in Finland at a village where Santa Claus has his workshop. Travel to see and possibly talk to Santa Claus is a delightful adventure for children. But such a trip has to be made before Christmas Eve when Santa, His elves and reindeers embark on a trip themselves to every home in the world. Travel tips for Christmas. Christmas time often means traveling to grandma's or family party. You can make these trips less stressful when you have kids along by following some of these tips. Traveling with children oftentimes requires that you become an expert storyteller, comedian, actor, or magician in order to keep peace and make the time pass quicker. Here are some age-appropriate tips for you to use on your next holiday trip. Babies enjoy looking at bright objects that have interesting shapes, or are pop-up tops, and also mirrors and rattles are favorite amusers too. Toddlers will be kept busy with hand puppets, shape sorters of all kinds, board books, musical toys that won't irritate you, and plastic containers that kid can easily open themselves and close. Keep play objects in them that are not too small. Joking. A coloring book and chubby crayons are great entertainment. Preschoolers love to unwrap boxes that contain surprises for them to play with, like magnetic numbers and letters on a metal tray, picture books, treats to eat, or mirrors and stuffed animals. Younger school-age kids love to work with activity books that have stickers in them, felt boards, modeling clay, action figures or dolls and stuffed animals. Older kids can use travel-size board games or handheld electronic games, magazines or books, or car games like finding certain state license plates or counting colored cars, or store signs. Kids have great imaginations and can sometimes amuse themselves on long car rides by playing these car games like I Spy, spotting something along the landscape that is a certain color or shape. It is a good idea to take along music CDs or books on tape for hours of entertainment value. Some popular series are Silly Sing-alongs, Toddler Tunes, music by Joe Scruggs, Raffi or Hits That You Remember from the Beatles, or Broadway or Hitsville USA. The Motown singles or a popular kids group. Sharon, Lewis and Bram. Taking a variety of music will help to pass the time not only for the kids but for the adults as well. Audiobooks can be not only entertaining but learning experience as well, especially if you are traveling far and can find an audiobook about your destination. Many of the vehicles now have built-in VCRs or DVD players for hours of movie entertainment. Car trips can bring your family closer together by creating this unique time of sharing and doing stuff together. You can share jokes, tell stories, and talk about what is happening in your lives. Trimming the Christmas tree. Gathering the family around to decorate the tree is one of the most popular holiday traditions that just about everyone enjoys doing. Bringing out all the different ornaments that have been collected throughout the years will bring back memorable moments from the past. Hanging the decorations on the tree is only part of the fun, and you can make it even more so by having some sing-alongs of your favorite Christmas songs to go along with the decorating activities. Have even more fun by making a game out of hanging the ornaments. For example, you can separate out all the handmade ornaments, then as you pick up each ornament, ask your family members who created the ornament. This can often trigger some fun memories. If the ornament was made by one of the children, this helps them to feel like they are a big part of the redecorating festivities. Another way to have fun is to find an ornament that you really don't care for and play a game of hot potato with it. Then whoever ends up with it last has to try and find something good to say about it. This makes the game fun, but also helps to teach kids to see the good in all things. Children always look forward to Christmas, and you can help build on that excitement prior to the actual holiday by counting off the days on a calendar beginning deck 1. However, you can also tie this in with your tree decorating activity to make it even more fun. Here's what you need to do. Purchase 24 tiny little gift bags with handles on them. Let the kids decorate them a bit and number each one of them 1 to 24 and hang them on the tree. The night before each new day arrives, you'll put a little gift inside the bag. The child will wake up the next morning to find the surprise you left in the bag the night before. If the children are too young to recognize numbers yet, you'll need to help them find the right bag each morning. 12 Contemporary Shopping Days of Christmas. November 24th, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. You have time off from work and it's the official start of the Christmas season and of Christmas shopping. Stores are open 3 to 4 hours earlier and they close later. Holiday sales begin. It's the first time that some items will be available. but definitely won't be among the crazies up at 4 a.m. to get to the top of the line to make some wild dash for the $99 flat screen television or the crazy Elmo toy. Black Friday is the second single biggest shopping day for retailers and got its name because in the days of old so much shopping was done on this day that it would turn the tide for many stores and put them in the black, or make them profitable. December 2nd, first Saturday in December weekends are important because it means free time to shop. The early holiday and Christmas shoppers should be more than halfway through shopping list. Average shoppers are just starting to browse. December 3rd, first Sunday weekend Christmas shopping can be done but stores close the usual earlier time on Sundays. December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, it isn't recognized by most but is very important to war veterans. The president usually gives a speech to a veterans group and lays a wreath in honor of those who died on Pearl Harbor Day and in World War II. December 9th, second Saturday, only 2 full weeks to go before Christmas. Where did the time go and where did the year go? To your disguised annoyance, you are starting to hear the ubiquitous phrase, "Finished all your Christmas shopping yet?" Christmas shopping has to pick up speed or a panic will set in. You are running out of time to enjoy some quality Christmas entertainment with your family. December 10th, second Sunday, go to church if you haven't been attending so that you won't look like a Christmas-only attendee. Need to squeeze in some shopping and must start sending out Christmas greeting cards this week. December 16th, third Saturday, first day of Hanukkah. It's unbelievable that there's only 1 full week to go before Christmas. Make supermarket shopping list for Christmas Eve and Christmas dinner preparations. December 17th, third Sunday, exactly 1 week before Christmas. Make sure Christmas toys and presents in hiding are still undiscovered. Make final plans for a family dinner on Christmas Day. December 21st, oh dear me. Only 3 days to go before Christmas. Do last-minute planning, get as many chores as possible out of the way, finish all Christmas and supermarket shopping. Assign final preparatory tasks to family members as necessary. Go over plans for Christmas dinner. December 22nd, first day of winter, my goodness. You still have shopping to do. You dread going to the mall this weekend. Pray for a miracle to find one of those needle-in-a-haystack salesperson who will hold hand and get you 95% through your Christmas shopping list. December 23rd, last Saturday before Christmas, now the single biggest shopping day of the year. The mall is absolutely crazy and there are no salespeople anywhere. It's a zoo everywhere on the roads, in the supermarket, even at the gas station people are honking, hollering at the gas attendant to pump faster. But you know what stopped at my favorite pastry store and was in and thought in a nanoscan there is no line. December 24th, Christmas Eve, downtown is glorious. Everything is so splendid and magical. We'll go to midnight mass. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. 12 things you never knew about Christmas. 1. Christmas trees were first lighted with actual candles, which presented a fire hazard. As a result, containers filled with water had to be kept near the Christmas tree. 2. Workers in the construction industry are responsible for the tradition of having a Christmas tree on display at Rockefeller Center in New York City. They are credited with placing an undecorated tree at the site in the early 1930s. 3. Since the mid-1960s, the National Christmas Tree Association has maintained a presence in the White House at Christmas by donating a Christmas tree to the first family. 4. The former Woolworth department store first sold manufactured Christmas tree ornaments in 1880. 5. Plastic became the primary material used to make tinsel after their use for decorative purposes was at one time prohibited because lead was used in the manufacturing process. 6. The idea of Christmas greeting cards started in Britain in the late 1830s when John Calcott Horsley started to produce small cards that had festive scenes and the holiday greeting written inside. Similar cards were also being made in the United States at about the same time by RHPs in Albany, New York, and Louis Prang, who was a German immigrant. The idea of sending the greeting cards during Christmas gained popularity in both countries about 10 years later when new postal delivery services started. 7. The shortened form Christmas for Christmas has been popular in Europe since the 1500s. It is believed to be derived from the Greek word ex Christos, which means Christ. 8. According to the National Confectioners Association, For 200 years, candy canes were only made in the color of white, and it wasn't until in the 1950s that a machine was invented that could automate the production of candy canes. 9. The day after Christmas is called Boxing Day in England, and it is a national holiday. Several stories exist for the origination of the name. It is believed to have originated from the practice of boys who'd be about collecting money in clay boxes. Another thought is that the term is derived from a custom in the Middle Ages, about 800 years ago, when churches would open their alms boxes and distribute the contents to poor people on the day after Christmas. Alms boxes are boxes in which donations of gifts and money would be placed. Yet another belief is that it comes from a custom of masters giving their servants Christmas presents in boxes on the day after Christmas. 10. Evergreen trees had special meaning in winter to people, particularly in Europe, before Christianity started. Ancient peoples would hang evergreen branches over their doors and windows because evergreens were believed to ward off witches, ghosts, evil spirits and illness. For worshippers of the sun god, evergreen plants were a reminder of all the green plants that would grow with the return of summer and the sun god being strong again. 11. In ancient times, many people worshipped the sun as a god in December because they thought winter occurred yearly because the sun god had fallen into ill health. They therefore celebrated the winter solstice because it was a sign that the sun god would begin to regain strength and return to good health. 12. Legislators in Congress did business on Christmas Day in 1789, which was the first one to be observed under the country's new constitution. The reason for the congressional session was because it had become unpopular then to observe and take part in English customs following the American Revolution. And when Christmas celebrations were barred in Boston earlier in 1659 to 1681, it became a costly thing to be seen participating in any event or activity related to Christmas. Anyone caught doing so had to pay 5 shillings. 10. Christmas in the United States and Canada. Many of the celebrations in the United States that are associated with Christmas were traditions brought by German and English immigrants, along with the well-known and practiced tradition of a brightly decorated Christmas tree. Other traditions brought by these immigrants include Advent calendars, Christmas greeting cards, gingerbread houses and gingerbread cookies. Christmas in the United States today can be seen as focused around family, travel, shopping and decorations. Family and travel go together during Christmas in the United States because family members often have to travel fairly long distances to be with each other at one location. The growth of cities that have primarily economic activities, suburbs for residences, as well as the fact of different industries being found in certain geographic locations, are among the reasons that family members often live great distances from each other in separate states. Christmas and its festivities therefore present a wonderful opportunity for many members of the family to gather in celebration and see each other in an intimate setting. The traveling involved makes the Christmas season a busy time of the year for rail and air travel. The occasion of seeing many family members at Christmas is also linked to the activity of shopping that is an important feature of Christmas in the United States. The Christmas season officially begins on the Friday after Thanksgiving, known as Black Friday, and which now ranks second in shopping for a single day to the Saturday before Christmas. Much of the shopping that is done is to purchase gifts for friends and family. Gifts for family members are usually exchanged after dinner on Christmas Day, when everyone gathers in the room with the Christmas tree. Gifts are usually left at the base of the Christmas tree in the weeks leading up to Christmas Day. Gifts may also be exchanged before Christmas at parties held by friends and parties held at workplaces. Second to gifts, shopping is also done at Christmas for decorations. While the Christmas tree may be the centerpiece of attraction, garlands, wreaths, candles and decorative lighting placed outside on lawns or along roof lines are also used to create a beautiful holiday appearance for homes. Canadians enjoy Christmas activities that are similar to those celebrated in the United States. That is so because in the 1700s, when some German immigrants in the United States migrated to Canada, they continued to practice many of the activities associated with Christmas. The geographical proximity of the two countries also means they share many things, so similarities in Christmas traditions wouldn't be an exception. One thing that accounts for the difference between the two countries, however, is the Eskimo population in Canada. Eskimos in Canada celebrate a festival during winter and have other traditions that are absent from American Christmas celebrations. A practice also exists in Nova Scotia in which small groups of masked individuals march around about 2 weeks before Christmas. These masked groups attract attention by creating stir with much bell ringing and engaging in a noisy caper in an aim to get candy, sweets and goodies from onlookers. This tradition bears some similarity to John Canoe celebrations in the neighboring islands of the Caribbean. Those celebrations also involve masked individuals, including some that appear on stilts that make them as tall as trees. The parade of John Canoe regale onlookers with various antics and present a minor scare to some children, who are then calmed with candies and other treats. In Nova Scotia, onlookers can try to calm the noise and rowdiness just a little if they can correctly guess the identity of the masked person. A correct guess puts an end to the noise as the mask is removed, exposing the individual. For their part, maskers also play nice by friendly nudging answers from children about whether they have been naughty or nice and handing out candies and treats accordingly. What makes Christmas magical? Christmas is a special time of the year for the joy and intangible magic that fills the season. It comes through in the delightful decorations, glorious get-togethers with family and friends and the sheer feeling of joy one gets from giving and receiving gifts. Although the commercialization of Christmas is often decried, shopping is an important and central activity to some of the intangible magic of Christmas. It is at the malls or downtown stores that some of the favorite sights, sounds and scents of Christmas can be experienced. The decorations at malls and retail establishments are usually very fanciful and eye-catching, especially to children, with the many colorful and twinkling lights. It's also a wonder for both adults and children alike to look at the numerous tinsels, baubles and figurines such as fairies, angels and little babies that adorn the main Christmas tree in the center of shopping malls and others in department stores. These trees are usually extremely well embellished with decorations that are arranged in a very professional way that most shoppers can't replicate in their own homes. It's therefore a delight for them to stare at such trees in wonder and amazement. Along with the wide variety of decorations and retail establishments, there also is the sound of music playing, bells ringing, the laughter and wishes of Merry Christmas from shoppers that also create a special atmosphere and add to the magic of Christmas. Even the sound of cash registers in the background adds something to the special feeling shoppers have at Christmas time. And of course there's always a Santa Claus that children can meet and tell what they want for Christmas, and also have their picture taken. Sometimes Santa Claus may distribute Christmas gifts to children, telling them that because they have been very, very good they are getting an extra special early Christmas present. The ability to delight children by telling them stories about Santa Claus, as well as making them see and talk to the jolly old fellow, puts a lot of magic and excitement into Christmas. Once the tradition is started, or from the first time that children have been told the story, it becomes something that they look forward to every year during the Christmas season. There's also the sound of music from choirs or school groups who often give open performances singing Christmas carols and songs in malls and downtown areas of towns. Families and others who are out and about will pause to listen or to sing along with these groups. Shopping is undoubtedly an enjoyable activity for most people during Christmas, but merrier and more memorable times are enjoyed when time is spent with family, friends and colleagues during the season. Before Christmas Day arrives, there usually are parties at home and at work, an evening out with friends and other occasions to get together and share the spirit of Christmas. The presence of special Christmas music and people dressed in holiday attire provide a different atmosphere and contribute to the magical feeling of the season. Another thing that is different at Christmas is the scent from a fresh Christmas tree, of gingerbread and other cookies baking and other food preparations that are specially done at Christmas time. Most people who select a real Christmas tree instead of an artificial one for their homes do so because of the wonderful scent it provides. For many people, that scent from a Christmas tree is what puts Christmas into everything else. Another popular scent at Christmas comes from the popular Christmas song Chestnuts Roasting Over an Open Fire. The actual roasting of chestnuts by families during the Christmas season may be a rare occurrence these days, but it is occasionally done in some downtown areas and in bakeries and confectioneries that make fresh products every day. All these events, activities, happenings, sights, sounds and scents of Christmas and the holidays create special and unforgettable memories. And who can deny that a pleasant memory is always something that is truly magical? Where to do Christmas shopping? Christmas shopping can be seen as an absolute thrill and to some extent, as a necessary evil. It's a thrill to be out and about amid the sights and sounds of the season and the jovial crowds. But for the same reasons, others dread shopping at Christmas time. These days, you don't have to leave your home much or at all to get your Christmas and holiday shopping done. That's because the internet puts shopping at your fingertips. And rather than competing with traditional retail stores, the internet has actually expanded the ability of traditional stores to sell more merchandise to a larger number of people in various locations. Both large and small retailers can be found at their specialized websites on the internet. Most will also offer selections that can be found in the store. Many times online retail sites will have additional items available, or access to additional items, that aren't found in the store. Another advantage of shopping by the internet is that it offers access to stores that are located anywhere. It therefore becomes easier to order a unique gift from niche or specialty boutique stores in locations that you otherwise wouldn't be able to reach. It is also easy to do comparison shopping using ShopBots, or simply comparing prices yourself. If Christmas shopping is done through the internet, you have to pay careful attention to the order times and any cut-off dates to get an item delivered in time for Christmas. Based on anticipated volume, most sites will give a date or the number of hours within which orders have to be confirmed for guaranteed delivery of the items before Christmas. The mall is a popular place for traditional Christmas and holiday shopping to be done. Malls offer one-stop shopping and have a large variety and wide selection of merchandise, which can minimize endless searching of several stores for some items. They will also be beautifully decorated for Christmas, have splendid displays and a Santa Claus to interact with children. These and other activities that are usually at the mall during Christmas and the holidays also make them an interesting place to take children to enjoy some of the season's delights. To maximize shopping at the mall, you'll need to know the differences between the mall department stores. You'll need to find out which stores have certain exclusive brands, which stores are moderately priced and which are more upscale. There are also the specialty standalone stores and spin-off store branches for children and teenagers that seek to fill a particular niche. As an example, stores have emerged that carry only styles related to hip-hop culture or styles that have an urban look. So it may be worth consideration to start your shopping at a specialty store, because they are more focused, and then continue it to department store that has a wider selection. Another interesting place to shop at malls are the standalone kiosks that are usually located at intervals in the open areas of a mall where there is a lot of foot traffic. These kiosks are more likely to carry one-of-a-kind and unique items, which can even provide or inspire ideas for Christmas presents. Also at malls will be specialized that offer home/household items, books, music and movies, electronics, sports gear and shoes. All of the types of mall stores previously mentioned can also be found at outlet or factory malls or warehouses, which offer lower prices. These stores often carry clearance items from their related mall store, merchandise with minor flaws and merchandise that is made for the outlet. Those merchandise usually have slight style variations from what is found in mall stores and may also be made from different materials. A final place to consider for Christmas shopping is downtown businesses. They are usually small and intimate, have unique offerings and offer more personalized assistance. Although downtown businesses are also likely to be crowded at Christmas time, there likely will be less of a crush of people like that found at malls. Why Christmas is really all about children? It could be said that since it was the birth of a baby as a gift to mankind that gave rise to Christmas, then children should also and always be the primary focus of the season. Individual families will say they have always put children first and parents will sacrifice seeking their desires at Christmas to make sure their children are satisfied. And although adults also look forward with much anticipation to the Christmas season, the frenzy that accounts for all the shopping and preparation during the Christmas season is really for the benefit of children. From a financial perspective, the extensive shopping done at Christmas is really a benefit to businesses. But what really drives the maddening shopping activity is a desire by parents, relatives, friends and acquaintances to play Santa Claus, mainly for children. Within families, children are usually the ones who individually receive the most gifts, and it's deservedly so because their wide-eyed anticipation, excitement and pure joy when they opened their Christmas presents gives everyone an indescribably happy feeling. along with playing Santa Claus and secretly getting gifts for children. Adults also use the Santa story for all it's worth as an effective means of discipline. As soon as the fall season approaches, children will begin to hear warnings about their behavior and the consequence of Santa Claus not leaving any toys or presents like the wonderful ones they received in the prior year. And when the Santa Claus story is not being used to help to get the best behavior from children, it is simply pure fun to delight them by telling them stories about Santa Claus, his elves and reindeers to simply enliven their imagination. The story of Santa Claus is even useful for older children who may just be starting to unravel the mystery of Santa Claus. The stories that tell of different places where Santa Claus actually lives can be a starting point to go on an imaginative journey around the globe and become a geography lesson to learn about those places. Children are also central to Christmas because the many grand displays of Christmas scenery, colorful lights and sparkling ornaments really target the attention of children. So, if children were not so important at Christmas time, then it is quite possible that many of the traditions that make Christmas what it is would not exist. As an example, Valentine's Day and holidays related to Easter have a much different mood and atmosphere. Children aren't the focus in celebrations for those special periods. Christmas is also an important period for the toy industry, whose clients are naturally children. Although the industry is part of the big retail picture and therefore seeks to boost sales during the Christmas season, there is also a deeper meaning for children. Toys are important to entertain, to educate, to help children develop their imagination and to develop coordination and other skills in children. Toys can also help children to play together and learn to share. The toy industry is therefore important at Christmas time in introducing new products that are integral to the development of children. When children become totally captivated by a new toy at Christmas time, it may help them to learn a new skill or provide new knowledge all in a fun and captivating way that will make it more likely that whatever is learned will be remembered. Children are also the focus of Christmas celebrations because it is important to create fond childhood memories of the season. These memories are created not by children necessarily receiving a lot, but by enjoying everything about the season. The story of Jesus with the moral of sharing, giving and doing kind deeds for others can also help to build a good character and set a moral foundation that teaches children to have empathy and compassion during the Christmas season and all throughout the year. Yuletide days of old, ancient and other customs of Christmas. Christmas as the holiday period was instituted and celebrated at about the same time as other winter solstice festivities because church leaders at the time believed that would make more people participate in the new holiday period. That objective was achieved, but people also carried over some pagan celebrations and traditions into the religious Christmas celebrations. As an example, people would attend church and then take part in the raucous, drunken and carnival-like celebration that has some similarities to Mardi Gras. During this celebration every year, there would be a crowning of a beggar or student as the Lord of Misrule. Those taking part in the activities would pretend to be loyal subjects to the Lord of Misrule. During this time, some of the poor would also visit the rich in their houses and ask for some of their best food and drink. Those among the rich who didn't cooperate would be subject to rowdy behavior and mischief by the poor. For their part, the rich used Christmas as the time when they would reach out to the poorer members of society by tolerating them in such visits or by leaving out food and clothing for them. For many centuries before the birth of Christ and the recognition of Christmas, there had always been celebrations in many countries during the middle of winter. During the darkest days of winter, for example, the early Europeans were said to celebrate light and birth. The winter solstice was a period of rejoicing for many people because it meant that the worst part of winter was over and they could therefore look forward to having days that were longer with more hours of sunlight. In that tradition, the Norse peoples in Scandinavia would celebrate a period of Yule from December 21st, which was the winter solstice or start of winter, through January. To recognize the re-emergence of the sun, fathers and their sons would take large logs home and set them on fire. There would then be a big feast until the log was completely burned out. That could take as much as 12 days to happen. The custom also was one of hope for the Norse because there was the belief among them that every spark from the fire represented a new pig or calf that would be born in the new year. Many parts of Europe also thought that the end of December was a perfect time to celebrate because during that time, a lot of cattle would be killed to avoid having to feed them during winter. For many people, The end of December was the only time during the year when they had a significant amount of fresh meat. By that time of year also, wine and beer that was made earlier in the year would have fermented and be finally ready for drinking. The tradition of Santa Claus has also been an ancient legend with slight differences or variations in olden days from the 1700s in some countries. In Germany and Switzerland, children who were well behaved would receive a Christmas present from Christkind or Christkringle. Christkind, which means Christ child, was believed to be an angel-like figure that went along with Saint Nicholas on his holiday journeys to deliver gifts. A jolly elf by the name of Jultomten was believed to deliver presents in Scandinavia in a sleigh that was pulled by goats. And in France, Père Noël is the one who fills the shoes of French children with Christmas gifts, sweets or treats at Christmas time. In Russia, there's a legend that Babushka was an elderly woman who gave incorrect directions to Bethlehem to the three wise men so that they wouldn't find Jesus. She later felt sorry for doing so but couldn't find the wise men to tell them about the error. Today in Russia, it is believed that on January 5th, the day before the Epiphany or Three Kings Day, Babushka visits Russian children and leaves presents by their bedsides in the hope that one of the children will be baby Jesus and will forgive her.